Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocky Cesar Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe.
And support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, and please, subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Because they talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk. Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is, quote the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
There was a huge shock return at NXT TakeOver War Games 2019. I am Luke Owen. This is El Fakador Laurie Blake. Welcome to our TakeOver War Games highlights and silly, stupidly called lowlights, because really there were no lowlights on this pay-per-view. This was all highlights. What a show, mate.
Yeah, what an amazing package of matches.
Yeah.
I think my only criticism of the entire show would be that there wasn't as much story. It didn't because there were no titles on the line in a lot of the matches, It didn't have quite like that pomp and circumstance that you normally get with a sort of takeover where it feels like everything's very important. However, everyone went out and absolutely crushed it. They were takeover level matches, obviously, across the board, and two War Games matches particularly were
absolutely fantastic.
A highlight. And yeah, the women's War Game match, I think, was the match of the night for me.
I've got to agree with you. I thought the women's match, we'll come to that in a second, but first let's talk about that shock return, the one that Adam Cole is reacting to in the thumbnail that you have clicked upon. Kevin Owens was the fourth man. They teased it all night long. Ciampa, even leading up to the pay-per-view, was saying we've spoken to a fourth man. And then on the night, Ciampa, Lee and Dijak all made their entrance, but there was no fourth man there. And then once Adam Cole got in, and that was all of the Undisputed Era in and all the good guys were in, commentary team said, we haven't been told that the match is officially underway, which they'd set up earlier in the night because a lot of people were taken out of that match. So they said, we've now been told this match is starting.
Yeah.
But so they were playing off of that for a while, and sort of building that anticipation. And then they did the countdown clock, and there was a ka-chung. And then it was more silence. Undisputed Era started laughing off because it was no one. And then all of a sudden,
Bobby Fish got gobby.
Yeah. Kevin Owens makes a shock return. Crowd goes ballistic
The old school KO NXT t-shirt.
Exactly. He's got the NXT logo on the back, and he's got the duct tape logo and stuff. It looks absolutely awesome. He looks so happy to be there, just basking in this crowd reaction. It was an incredible moment. It was my favorite thing about the match.
Yeah. It was. It was such a good choice to send KO back as well. I think they built it enough. I don't know what you take coming out of it with Kevin Owens, because he's tomorrow he's going to be literally in a match against Ciampa, who he's just helped tonight. But in a sort of isolated, if you go that doesn't exist as part of the regular canon of WWE, then it's an amazing little bit of a moment for old school NXT fans as well to see we're back in a stage where, on the same night, Finn Balor and Kevin Owens have both competed on an NXT card.
Back in NXT,
back in NXT years ago.
2015 again. And actually, you're bringing up an interesting point there, which is there was no mentions or really no build to Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. It never felt like NXT were in a war with Raw and SmackDown, or vice versa. Yep. There were no Raw and SmackDown stars on this show whatsoever. This was an NXT show.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was an NXT show that was in a bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, there were pockets of mentions of Survivor Series here and there, but it never felt like Survivor Series was an overall deal for them.
No.
It just felt like an NXT show, which I know I said at the start of the stream, that's what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, I think like their plan all along was to do this show, and then Survivor Series was obviously something that was thrust upon them as a sort of, well, we can get you some more numbers on Wednesdays if we do put you in Survivor Series. So it makes sense to keep that out of it, because otherwise you're doing a whole pay-per-view that builds to another pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's like one big pre-show.
And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's just ridiculous. And I think it worked, because like in that opening promo package, they had Shawn Michaels saying, like, you know, the NXT has gone to war, but they've forgotten about what was happening on the home front. And then that is where War Games is kind of settling everything, which just makes sense. And then it does make the Kevin Owens appearance problematic, storyline-wise, tomorrow. So hopefully they build into it, but...
But then again, I thought it was problematic on Friday SmackDown, where you've got Triple H, Road Dogg, and Shawn Michaels leading this charge, and Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa are just fighting on the same side.
Like two feet away from each
other. Like Keith Lee and Dijak are fighting alongside the Undisputed Era.
They hated each other so much that they were like, we need to get another ring and a big old cage round it to settle it.
Yeah.
But if we're going to put on t-shirts and we're going to go against the other guys, then that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is. It's always been problematic, really. That's why I do not like Survivor Series in that sense.
But it was wicked to see Kevin Owens back in a sort of an NXT-style match as
Absolutely, yeah. And like the Canadian Destroyer on the sort of the metal partition between the two rings. Mm. Bonkers.
Yeah. But he just walked in. He walked into that match like a returning god of NXT. Because he gets in the ring and he hits a pop-up powerbomb is the first thing he does. He does like a big, basically like a Tazplex, essentially. Yeah. Like he does, he then powerbombs Kyle O'Reilly onto Fish or vice versa. Yeah. Then hits a stunner on Adam Cole within seconds. So he's walked in, he's just gone like, here's my arsenal.
Yeah, like, totally. He looked like he was having so much fun in that match. And it really, like, I felt that match got so much better once all eight guys were in there and it went crazy. So yeah, Kevin Owens returning was a big, big deal for this night. Mm-hmm. I think we sort of said this in the live reactions. For me, it felt like a one-off. Yeah. I don't think this isn't like Finn Balor or Breezango returning to NXT or Killian Dane. This felt like a one-off appearance. He'll still be part of Team Raw tomorrow, and it'll be against Team NXT. Mm-hmm. They might do something in there, but he will be a part of Raw come Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could play off the angle here. Be like, well, he helped Team NXT helped Ciampa last night.
I'm just glad they built something from that angle on Raw where the Undisputed Era beat him down. Because they've clearly built nothing between the dissension between Undisputed Era and Triple H, because they were fighting alongside each other on come SmackDown.
That was in case they ever built in the sort of Triple H is going to be the on-team champer here, or you know, whoever was available to fill that last spot.
Yeah, I'm just glad they did something out of it.
Yeah, it was really good.
Right, the other big bit of news coming out of this show is on the pre-show, it opened with Mia Yim being beaten up backstage, and she's all hurt and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And clearly concussed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and you got Ripley there, and Candice LeRae, and Tegan Nox being like, "Oh my god, you're so hurt." And Dakota Kai is suddenly going like, "Oh no, you're so hurt.
Man,
oh no,
I can't
oh dear,
how
I can't,
hurt
you're
you
so hurt. Oh dear, shifty-eyed dog that she is." And then Mia Yim gets taken to a local medical facility. And again, Dakota Kai's there going like, "Oh, guys, I can't believe it. What? She got attacked. No,
what,
really?"
Ripley's like, Regal comes over and goes like, "Well, you're the captain. It's your decision." Ripley taps her on the back and turns around. She's like, "Well, do you want in then?" And she's like, "But I haven't prepared anything." And she's like, "You want Shayna, don't you?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready." Like,
she was in her gear already to go. And so Dakota Kai replaced
those NWO pants.
Exactly.
She got them from
Angel
Garza.
She'd been foreshadowing it. She was wearing NWO gear. Mm-hmm. She's already a baddie. And then, so she replaced Mia Yim in the match. Mm-hmm. And when she was third in for her team, she just turned around and beat the ever-loving F out of Tegan Nox, her Team Kick partner, slamming her knees into the door.
That was brutal. It was such a vicious beatdown.
Gave her a wicked beatdown. And Shayna Baszler is hissing herself laughing at all of this. It was wonderful scenes.
It was it was so well done, I thought. Like, it was such a good... I think it also, in my mind, I was like, I thought the Dakota Kai heel turn was on its way. And I was just like, I think it's going to happen in the match to, like, give Team Baszler the win, basically. And I think just doing it where they did it on the ramp just completely changed the dynamic of the match in a way that I was like, well, you know, giving someone an advantage to get the win right at the end of the match is kind of a usual thing for these sorts of affairs. Like, Roddy has done it previously.
Yeah.
So having it happen, like, on the ramp, and then not even be involved, like, to just be like, well, I've just taken two members of your team out because Dakota Kai just gets sent out of the arena and Tegan Nox is unable to compete.
Yeah.
It completely changed the complexion of the match.
It was so interesting.
And made, yeah, and then made all the sort of psychology of it brilliant. I just thought the storytelling throughout the women's match elevated it. Like, I think the men's match had bigger spots, crazier stuff happening, but this just elevated the women's match above it in my eyes because I was just so gripped by all the story.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I thought the women's match, yeah, for me was my match of the night because of that, because there was that real story element to it. So Dakota Kai has turned heel, and within this match, even though she was down by a two-woman deficit, it was just Rhea Ripley and Candice LeRae against the world of Io Shirai, Shayna Baszler, Bianca Belair, and who am I missing? Who am I missing? The fourth one. Kevin Owens. And in all of that matter,
it
was Kaylee Ray. Thank you very much. Yeah, United Kingdom champion.
Yeah, I don't remember who else you'd said then.
Yeah. Rhea Ripley pinned Shayna Baszler. Mm. Brilliantly hit the riptide through two chairs that had been stationed together and like a bridge.
After handcuffing herself to get out of the Kira Fuda clutch.
Yeah, which is really, really nice. So, yeah, so Rhea Ripley has now pinned Shayna Baszler. Mm-hmm. Tommaso Ciampa pinned Adam Cole in the main event. So you got to think that's now setting up your two title matches next.
Yeah.
So we're either getting those at the TakeOver show that comes at the Rumble, mm-hmm, or at the TakeOver show they announced for February.
Yeah, in Portland.
Yeah, in Portland. So that's two back-to-back.
TakeOver, like, that's Portland.
That's monthly pay-per-views there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be switching to a monthly
schedule,
yeah.
Maybe they'll do, or like, schedule. Smaller sort of, maybe the sort of non, the ones that are just called an NXT TakeOver that we're announcing for, like, because the Portland one felt very, like, a lazy announcement because it was, like, here's some shots of trees, so you know it's Oregon. Like, yeah.
There's a trail over there. You know it's Oregon now.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just, maybe there'll be, like, sort of smaller ones, like, maybe less important matches. I don't know. Because you can't just keep going, well, we're just going to have 1 month builds to pay-per-views for title matches in NXT, because it clearly doesn't work. Like, what I think what's been brilliant about NXT for the whole time I've been watching it is that because they have less pay-per-views, there's more time to make those matches feel important, which loops back around to what I was saying at the beginning, is why some of these matches tonight didn't quite go over the top, like Matt Riddle, Finn Balor, and the three-way, because it didn't feel like the stakes were quite high enough. They weren't like really big, long feuds that were building up to this moment, or they weren't really for a title. So it was all for it. Kind of the rewards weren't quite there.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see if there are going to be more of these. But as we know it at the moment, there's one in January and there's one in February. And I don't know, because they've announced Worlds Collide for the night before WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So they've not announced like a full NXT show. So, well, it's one to keep an eye on, but I don't think there's any been reports.
Maybe they get their own WrestleMania.
Yeah, like, there's been no reports of there being a monthly pay-per-view switch for NXT. God. So one to keep an eye on. And speaking of those other matches that happened on the night, the two matches are sort of like the filling between the War Game sandwich bits of bread, was that Pete Dunne beat Killian Dane and Punishment Martinez. Then Killian Damian Priest to earn a shot against Adam Cole Bebe for the NXT Championship tomorrow at Survivor Series.
That's if Adam Cole is not dead.
Well, yeah, because Cole took one hell of an air raid crash off the top of the War Games cell through two tables. And
Britt Baker was there to see it.
Yeah, we didn't mention. Yeah, Britt Baker was there to view.
Boyfriend. Got was shown on screen. Got a mention from Mauro Ranallo. It's like, that's Adam Cole's girlfriend,
Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Yeah.
So Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole tomorrow. That should be a really fun match. Kind of gutted that Adam Cole hasn't had much more of a build for the Survivor Series match. It's just, here is a match for you.
Yeah, it's a showcase, isn't it?
It's a showcase, which is good.
Yeah,
because they'll put on a real good match.
Yeah, if he's 100%.
Well, yeah, we'll certainly
otherwise
see.
He might be wheeled to the ring.
Right, so let's go through some of your super chats from this. I've done this very poorly.
You've not worked this out at all.
No, and I said to you as well that I was going to.
You're going to get it all set up ahead of time.
So I was going to get it all set up ahead of time, and I've completely ballsed it up.
So it's late here, so.
Yeah, can you fill for time for just a second while I do this?
Yeah. I'll tell a bit more about the War Games matches.
Please do.
So, the men's one, I just thought the kind of break. There were so many points during the men's one where I was like, I just think everyone's going to die. Like, I just every point where they were just setting things up. Like, there were so many moves that landed on people's faces.
Oh yeah.
Like just slight miscues and stuff like that. But it fortunately that like, and we just saw the referee put the gloves on at one point. We're like, so who is it
that's bleeding?
You couldn't tell. I think it was maybe just like precautionary because so many people have been bonked on the head, but. What an incredible match. Like, to build to the point where I think one of my favourite moments before the Kevin Owens thing was building to Keith Lee coming in and how the Undisputed Era perfectly worked up the crowd to the point of, like, fever pitch when they were just screaming, "Oh, basking is glory," for him to, like, come in because they'd just done this perfect beatdown and dismantling of Ciampa and Dijak. So they were just like, we need Keith Lee now.
Yeah.
It was so clever and so good.
So good. Right, well, let's get into those super chats. First one comes in from I Am Error, who I don't think was a fan of the women's War Games match. And they write, I couldn't believe two women beating four women. I think it's written with WPM, but maybe that's Weapon. So I think they're just saying that it's unbelievable that that Rhea Ripley and... Candice LeRae were able to beat Baszler and Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray and Bianca Belair.
Yeah, but everyone ended up down from all of them. Like, so I think it was done quite well because they separated off Candice into that other half of the ring with Bianca and Kaylee Ray and Io Shirai, and then the big moonsault happened that kind of wiped everyone out, which left Baszler and Ripley to have a couple of minutes on the other side of the ring, and they finished up what they were doing in a couple of minutes. So.
Yeah, and Kaylee Ray did get a dive in onto Rhea Ripley, but she took her out. So it really was. Yeah. So it was kind of a case that all the other women just sort of wiped themselves out to leave it to be just those two.
Yeah, and
so
I think
for me, it never really felt like Baszler looked rubbish or any of the other women looked rubbish.
It's not like Rhea stood there. It's not like Rhea Ripley stood in the center of the ring at one point while four people attacked her and she just fought them all off.
Yeah.
Like, she found herself in the very fortunate situation of going one on one with the champion.
Yeah.
In a match with loads of people in it. And it was just kind of blind luck that happened.
Completely agree. And lastly, from Blanco Mac 11, he just says, Omni Shane return confirmed. Maybe. I mean, Kevin Owens is getting in a prominent role here, so who knows? But thank you.
Put him back in his place.
Thank you all so, so much for watching. Later on today, there will be a 10-minute review of TakeOver War Games presented by these two handsome chaps right here. And then Ollie and Pete will be back later on after that to do the full WrestleTalk live review. And then they're going to be here to live stream their reactions to Survivor Series. And then they'll be doing a highlights and lowlights, their 10-minute review. And then these two handsome pricks will be back once again on Monday to do the WrestleTalk live review of Survivor Series. So there is no shortage of content coming your way.
And then it's Raw again.
Yeah, then it's bloody Raw again, yeah. It's never ending. There will never be...
Get back on the wrestling carousel.
There will never be a winner. It's like that Mitchell and Webb sketch about football. It's will never be a winner of the football. It's just going to keep going in perpetuity. So there will never be a winner of the wrestling. We're just going to be here till our dying days, and I can't bloody wait to spend it with all of you lot.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.